It's human nature to lose our sense of wonder and get lost in the wasteland of the familiar. You see, here in America, we have a tendency to lose hope quicker than most people everywhere else. In America, what happens is people tend to experience a midlife crisis right around their mid-40s. Researchers say that the reason why people experience a midlife crisis is because they succumb to something called midlife mundane sameness. What that means is that every day seems like every other day. And people begin to ask questions like, is this all there is to life? What do I have to look forward to? People fall in the pit of despair. You see, up until that point, people begin to believe and they continue to expect that the next Marvel movie will be better than the last. They believe that the next iPhone upgrade will actually be amazing and not just some other upgrade. They begin to believe that their next promotion will give them the significance that they're searching for. And they also believe that the next election is actually going to fix America. What happens, though, is that there comes a moment when reality shows up and it changes everything. When people go from being optimistic to realistic and sometimes to being very pessimistic. You see, people get to a point where they realize that expectations overpromise and reality underdelivers. They come to a point where they discover that reality is a heavy hammer that smashes hopes and dreams. And when reality hits, emotions take a hit, and people begin to describe their life as unmotivated, uninspired. They feel like they're stuck in a rut. In fact, people get to the point where not only are they quiet quitting in their job, they're quiet quitting in their life as well. So if you're there right now, I want you to know that there's hope, because 2,000 years ago, Jesus saw that we would need hope today, not tomorrow, not next week, and he promised that we could find it in Jesus Christ. It's the reason why he went to the cross to pay for our sins, but he rose again on the third day so that we could have hope and life and freedom. In that moment, he knew that we would need salvation and revitalization, and he did it through the cross and through the empty tomb. You see, the cross is God's delete button. In that moment, Jesus, he deleted all of our sin, our shame, our struggles, our fear, our insecurity, our anxiety, our thoughts of depression and suicide. He canceled all of that with the cross. And through his blood, he provided redemption and the forgiveness of sins and to give us a hope for the future. But it didn't stop there. The empty tomb is God's refresh button. He knew that we would need to be refreshed and restored and renewed, that we would need a way to look forward into life and expect better and to believe for more. So today, if you find yourself in a place where you've lost hope, you're in a place where you believe that people are looking down upon you, you come to church and you feel like the weight of your sin and shame is too heavy to come to God. Maybe you feel like, who is this Jesus really? And you wonder. Well, today I'm here to tell you, each one of us, we need to look again. We need to look again to Jesus. We need to look again to Jesus. I'm inviting you to pause for just a moment what you think about Jesus and get to know the real Jesus. Because I believe that when you do, you're going to discover that he's better than you think. He's kind, he's thoughtful, he's forgiving, he's sacrificial, and he'll show up for you, whether life is going well or you feel like you're in the pit of despair. And so with that in mind, I'm going to invite all of us to look again to the very first Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to invite you to join me in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 6. We're going to see what God wants to reveal to us as we look again. While you're turning there, I just want to set the scene. A very black and dark Friday, the Friday that Jesus died, now we know it as Good Friday, has passed. Silent Saturday has passed, and it's Sunday morning. And there's women who are headed to the tomb, who are going there to mourn Jesus. Join me. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 6. It says this: on the very first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They went to anoint him and to honor him. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." I'm going to ask you to say those last two statements with me. He is not here. He has risen. Today we celebrate a risen Savior. We can look to him because there's hope in his life. You see, that early Sunday morning when those women went, they went to mourn. They had seen Jesus wrongfully accused and betrayed by one of his closest followers. He was condemned to die. Then they saw his very best friends, the 11, scatter in fear. These women also saw Jesus be mocked and ridiculed and beaten and crucified. They knew in their hearts at that moment there was no way back. But that radiant Sunday morning, when they woke up, they looked again. And in the very darkest moment of their life, they were able to see rays of hope that still shine into our heart today. Radiant rays of hope that are intended to pierce the darkness that the enemy wants to minister over your life. Today, we need to look again. I want to tell you a little bit about my wife. My wife, Danae, she happens to be a bargain hunter. And one of my responsibilities as her husband is to dutifully and very faithfully take her to the places where she wants to go. And so what we'll do is we'll go somewhere, and usually my wife knows exactly what she wants and she knows how much she wants to pay. So we'll begin looking for what she's looking for, and she'll suddenly find something and she's excited. But then there's that moment when she turns over the tag and there's a frown on her brow, and I realize it's not the price she wants to pay. And right about that moment, a sales associate will come up and say, "Ma'am, can I help you?" And she'll say to him, "No, I'm just looking." And at that moment, my heart sinks because I know it's about to be a long, long day. So what we'll do is we'll keep looking. One store, another store, looking, looking, looking. And finally, we get to a point where she's found what she's looking for, and it's still not the price she wants to pay. And I finally say, "Babe, listen, listen, we need to get it now. It's right here in our hands. We don't need to look any further. We don't need to go somewhere else just to save $5. Just get it now." You know, in life, sometimes we spend a lot of time looking and looking and looking. From one relationship to another, from one job to another, we believe that the next promotion is going to give us the hope and the significance and the satisfaction. And every time we're disappointed and we keep looking and looking and looking. If you're at a place in your life today where you're looking and looking and looking, I'm here to tell you, look no further, because the one you're looking for is Jesus. And he's the one you're searching for. And he's here today, and he's here to tell you, you don't have to look any further. I want to share with you that the empty tomb tells us that the search is over. In fact, the empty tomb stands as a silent witness to the greatest miracle that humanity has ever seen. And it's the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, the empty tomb today says what it said 2,000 years ago, which is simply this: it's not over. It's not over. It's not over. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, right before he died, he said something. He said, "It is finished." What he meant is that the work of redeeming humanity and paying for the sins of everyone was finished. But did you notice he didn't say, "I am finished"? He didn't say he was finished. That silent Saturday was a Sabbath. If you know anything about the Sabbath, it was a day of rest. Jesus wasn't just in the tomb, he was resting. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, it says that he worked for 6 days and then on the seventh he rested. Jesus was just resting. And he came back to life. And today he's alive. Here it is. Because God's not dead, you're not done. Because God's not dead, you're not done. It doesn't matter how bleak or broken your situation may seem. God's not dead and you're not done and he's not done with you. The Bible tells us that he who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. What it means is that Jesus always finishes what he starts. And so if you feel like you're a work in progress, welcome to the club. We're all a work in progress. And God stands and says, step into the next thing where I'm going to progress you and advance you. You see, our endings are God's beginnings. So if you're at the end of your rope, just know that you're about to experience a miracle from God. Which reminds me about a 5-year-old little boy who was part of an Easter play. He got a part. His part was to be one of the two angels at the tomb on Resurrection Sunday. And this young boy had one line. He had one line. And his line was this: he's not here, he is risen. And so this little boy named Billy, it's always Billy, Billy went home and he practiced and he practiced and he practiced. And then the moment came where he was about to share his line and he froze and he forgot what he needed to say. So he turned to the Sunday school teacher and he said, "What's my line?" And the teacher told him the verse again. So guess what he did? He grabbed the microphone, he stepped boldly forward, and he said, "He's not here, he's in prison." Now this young boy got the verse wrong, but I actually think he was a little bit right. You see, our sin condemned Jesus to die. And for 3 days he spent in prison. But he stepped out of that prison called the tomb, the grave. He stepped out of there. Why? To give us freedom and hope, to set us free from the prison of misery and addiction and brokenness. He stepped out to give us life, hope, and freedom. And today he's saying, "I'm here to set you free." You see, Jesus said, "It is finished," to forgive us. He stepped out of the grave to set us free. So today, walk in freedom, knowing that you're forgiven. Walk in freedom knowing you're forgiven. Today, I want to share with you two thoughts. The first one is this: the empty tomb says, start again. It says, start again. I invite you to say those last two words with me. Start again. Every moment of our life is an opportunity for us to start again. We can start again at any moment if we're willing to walk with him. I love starts. I love the beginning of the year. I love it when my kids go back to school and stop eating me out of house and home. I love it when people graduate and they step into the next season of their life. I love it when people come and they said, "I found someone that I love and that loves Jesus and we're getting married." I love it when people come up to me and say, "Pastor, we've been praying for years for a child and now we're pregnant and we're expecting." I love fresh starts. And today the empty tomb says, start again. And we need start again moments, especially when life shouts at us, life is over. But here's some good news. Jesus turns bad endings into amazing beginnings. So if your marriage is falling apart, start again. If your business is failing, start again. If you're struggling with guilt and shame, start again. If your family is broken, start again. Start again. Start again. God offers us a start again moment. And what I would say to you is this: if your story isn't great yet, just know Jesus isn't done writing. The chapter may have ended, but the story isn't over. I believe God still wants to continue to write in your life. So let him write. Let him keep writing. Or as my son would say, let him cook. Let him cook. Let him keep going. Let him finish what he started in your life. Speaking of my son, I'm reminded of something that happened an Easter weekend just like this. My son happened to be in kids' church, and the teacher was telling them about how Jesus was condemned to die, how he died on a cross, and how he was buried. And frankly, my son was a little surprised about the sudden turn of events because the weekend before, which was Palm Sunday, he had heard that Jesus was celebrated by the people, and he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Fortunately for him, the teacher finished the story and began to tell him that the good news that Jesus wasn't dead anymore, that he was alive. And so then the teacher asked a question. She asked the class, she said, "Why did Jesus come back from the dead?" All the kids thought and thought and thought, and suddenly my son had a great idea. He said, he raised his hand and he said, "Teacher, Jesus came back from the dead to rescue his donkey. He came back to get his donkey." That's exactly the story of the cross. Jesus came back for us. He came back for us. He came back to give us a fresh start. He came back to give us a new hope and a new future. He came back to tell us we could start again. And a start again moment can be for anyone and for everyone. You see, in John 3:16, it says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life." And what he's saying in that is that redemption and a new start is for anyone who will believe in Jesus. Today, we have that opportunity to start again. It doesn't matter if life yells at you, it's over. Jesus says, start again. The second thought I want to share with you is this. The empty tomb shouts, live again. Yes, the empty tomb says, start again. But the empty tomb shouts, live again. I invite you to say it with me. Live again. We can live again. We can live again. You see, Jesus came not to make bad people good, but to make dead people alive again. Just a couple days ago, I met a lady. She came up. She walked up with her son. She said, "I want you to meet my son." She had a big smile on her face, but there was tears in her eyes. She said, "Pastor John, I need you to know that I had my son at 15, and I had to give him up." She went to tell me about a series of unfortunate events where she got disconnected from her son, and she didn't have a way to connect with him, and she thought she had lost him forever. She went on to tell me that she started attending Westover in a moment of hopelessness, and she found Jesus, and Jesus changed her life. But yet, she still struggled with emptiness because her son wasn't with her. And then she told me, "Pastor John, about a year ago, my son found me and we reconnected and we were able to catch up on life." She went on to tell me that she invited him to church. And she said, "Pastor John, just a couple weeks ago, he gave his life to Jesus." He gave his life to Jesus. And then she ended by saying this, "Not only did my son find me, he also found Jesus." And that's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. It's all about finding Jesus. And that's why the empty tomb shouts, live again, live again. I've had the privilege of going to the Holy Land. I've been to a place called the Garden Tomb. Historians and archaeologists can't prove definitively that this is the place where Jesus was buried. What's interesting about that location is the fact that it satisfies all of the biblical descriptions of the tomb that Jesus was buried in. And I remember the moment I stepped into that tomb and I had this sudden realization that that tomb was meant for me. You see, our sin, our brokenness sent him to the cross and put him in that tomb. And I couldn't get over the sense that that's where I should belong. But then I turned around and I saw rays of sunshine shining in. And as my foot crossed that threshold, I realized that what I was looking at was exactly what Jesus was looking at. And my heart was filled with hope because I realized that he stepped out of the grave to set us free. To set us free from that prison of sin and shame. He stepped out of that grave so that we could live again. Galatians 5:1 says this, "It is for freedom that Jesus set us free. He came to set us free." This past week, I was reflecting on a story that's found in John chapter 11. If you look at that chapter, what you discover is that it's a story about a guy by the name of Lazarus. Jesus and Lazarus were friends. It just so happens that in that chapter, Lazarus gets sick. And so his sisters, Mary and Martha, send a message telling Jesus to come back because his friend was sick. But instead of Jesus going immediately, he waits right where he's at. Then Jesus gets a second message that his friend Lazarus is dead. Finally, when Jesus shows up after the funeral, Martha comes up to him. And with despair in her heart, she says, "Jesus, we sent a message to you that Lazarus was sick. But Lazarus died because you didn't show up on time." That moment, Jesus wept. But what Martha didn't know, and we know now, is that Jesus was about to do a miracle. I want you to hear the words of Jesus to Martha and to us today, found in verses 25 and 26 of John 11. It says this, "Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die.'" Right after he said those words, Jesus called Lazarus out of his tomb, and he said to Lazarus, "Live again." And Lazarus was alive again. But when Jesus stepped out of his own tomb, he proved that he was the resurrection and the life. It was undisputed. Yes, he had the power to resurrect people when he raised Lazarus from the dead, but at this moment, he proves that he is the resurrection and the life. And I'm here to tell someone, you may feel like it's dead and gone and there's no way to recover. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and he's here to give you life and hope and freedom. You don't have to stay stuck in the grave anymore. He's here to pull you out. And so today, as I close, I want to invite you to stand with me. Because Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, we can start again. Because he stepped out of that grave, we can live again. And today, I want to give you the opportunity to decide to follow Jesus. I believe that God wants to do something miraculous in your life. In fact, before we get to that moment, I just want to share with you what I sense in my heart for this moment. Is that some of you have been praying for a miracle. You need Jesus to do something miraculous in your life. And I'm believing in a faith that there's people who are gonna get a miracle in their body as they walk to the car today, as they're driving to work tomorrow, as they wake up some point next week, they're gonna discover that God has healed them miraculously because we serve a miracle working God. But the greatest miracle that Jesus does is he provides salvation. And I wanna give you that opportunity today. Here at Westover, we believe that saying yes to Jesus is as clear as ABC. A, admitting that we need Jesus because we do. B, believing in our heart that he died on the cross to give us life, hope, and freedom. And C, that we would confess from our heart with our mouth out loud that we want him to be the Lord and Savior of our life. And I want to give you that opportunity today. So I want to invite everyone to bow their head, close their eyes, front to back, side to side. If you had a place in your life where you know that you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. I don't want you to miss it. I know some of you are saying in your own heart, "Pastor John, I don't know Jesus." And for some of you, you at one point knew Jesus, but you've ran away. Well, today is your moment of redemption. Here's what I want you to do. On the count of three, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. You're not joining this church. You're just saying yes to Jesus. Here it is. 1, 2, 3. Yes, hands going up. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 up in the balcony. Jesus sees you and he knows you. So for those of you who have your hands raised, I want you to pray a prayer from your heart out loud. In fact, all of us are going to say this prayer together as a moment of commitment. Say this with me. Say, "Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for going to the cross to pay for all of my sins. Thank you for coming back to life to give me life, hope, and freedom. Today I believe in you. I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. today and forever. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. To help you on your journey, we invite you to join our Follow Jesus class so we can get you on a pathway to discovering who Jesus really is. And also sign up for water baptism, which is a way we celebrate the change that God has done in our life. I want to share with you two more things. This upcoming Wednesday at 7 p.m., we have a night of worship. I invite you to come and discover what life can be like as we make space for the presence of God. And number two, I want to invite you to come back next week as we start a new series called Picture Perfect. And the idea is this: we want to help families win. Even if your family is perfectly imperfect, as you leave, there's a card available. I invite you to take it with you. And I invite you to invite someone else so they can win in their family as well. It's been a delight to have you here this Resurrection Weekend. God bless you, and we are dismissed.